Accession number 9489, reel 3.
Tom Phillips, take 3. Yes, you were saying you had your rifles taken away and you were given revolvers. Is that right, after this incident?
Yes, yes. I don't know. I was shaky there. It wasn't my fault. And my rifle saved me from being knocked to smithereens.
Yes.
And the other fellows, and it was a gas shell. And we're chlorine. We're all right for chlorine.
Could I ask you about that, Tom? What were the effects of chlorine gas?
The effect was for your lungs. It would attack your lungs. And it could put you out in no time if you didn't have your gas mask. But the gas mask was a perfect shelter. It was good. Excellent, as long as the fellows kept their heads on to get it on in time.
Did it also depress people, did you find?
It was a depressing gas, chlorine, but I understood it all right. And someone or two fellows, I remember them, new recruits, not the old stager of us, coming in, and they wanted to get back to Blighty. What we used to get a little total rum. If you drink rum and left your gas mask, it'll kill you. Rum and gas, I've seen one or two going under like that. They couldn't stand it any longer. Now then.
So, do you mean they committed suicide?
In a way, they. I couldn't go for it. Summer, you see. But I was privileged. I had that divine power. So
I was going to ask you, Tom.
Yes.
You know, with all the losses that you had.
Yes.
Could you give me some sort of description of what the battlefield would have looked like with the dead and the wounded?
Yes. The one thing, the first, the. Along that way, they had the ambulances of first aid people coming round. But in the trenches, I'm thinking some were blown to pieces. We had to bury them as we could, you see, in the trenches. But they were dead. There were some missing on the Somme. Not so many. Ask Passchendaele, I'll tell you all about Passchendaele afterwards. But we had our new captain now at Gomico. And the blinking, we had several gas attacks and the rats were there. And we knew about the gas because the rats used to go and drink water and burst, you know. It used to kill all the rats. A chlorine gas attack and vermin, anything, because they couldn't protect themselves.
The countryside of the Somme and how this altered as the battle went on.
Oh, it was all ruined, everything, trees, everything. I saw pieces of our own people being blown to pieces, some hanging on trees. They're ruined trees almost. They're all knocked to pieces. Everything in ruin, and the mud and everything. So we had to the left, to the left from Beaumont Tunnel to Gomico. After being there, we pushed on to Arras.
Before I ask you about Arras,
yes,
did you ever see any tanks at the
Somme? Any what? Tanks we had. The tanks were all knocked out on the Somme, only light tanks there were. They couldn't go that much through the mud. They were not much use to us, not much at all. The only things they were not all knocked out everywhere about the place. Not many. We didn't have many of them, hardly any. It frightened the Germans a bit. They happened to go through the wire netting a bit. But now then, Arras, we went into the front line in trenches. Do you know Arras? Well, we were in the trenches, and Arras was all ruins, and we were in the trenches there for a good while.
What date would that have been?
That would be, I tell you now, September, October, 16, about October, that's it. And we were pushed from there back towards the Neuve-Chapelle, that district. And it was a hell of a hardest winter that the French have ever had in France. Everybody going home with frostbitten legs, arms. Well, I was clever at, I'd learned clog dancing, and I was very keen. I could have been an expert clog dancer. So wait a minute.
Oh, you've got some clogs there.
I got clogs here. They sent me from down our way, a small place, Halifax way. And I heard this man down our way, what is his name, on Radio 4. So I took, because somebody took a note of it, and they sent me a pair last Christmas. It's a size too big. Clog dancing. Wait a minute. A big army boots. And the fellow's going, after being in the front line, the blighty, and the scabies as well. Scabies. It was a terrible winter. So I thought to myself, I'm not going to blighty. I'm quite at home here. I'll stick it out now and get to know the lads. I'm very fond of them. I look after the married and those with children especially. If any dirty work, I was the one to go to lead them. They knew they'd be safe alongside of me instead of being blown to bits. So I went after being in the front line in that very cold night. Boys went down into the dugouts and never bothered to exercise them. And the trench grids wouldn't. In the second line, which in the front line too, Jerry would hear me dancing in the front line. I used to dance like hell with the clog dancing. Oh, damn, I used to go like hell. I could do it. And that kept me from frostbite throughout that terrible winter. And the fellows that went home, new recruits coming up, oh, it was, if we had that terrible winter on Passchendaele in 1970, we'd all perished. But it was a mild winter in Passchendaele. I'll tell you all about that again. So, new lots coming up, we lost a lot of fellows. Blighty. Oh, some had to get the legs off, you know. Frostbitten. But I was fit as a fiddle. I used to make those old transcript rattle. And it saved me from frostbite or anything. So some of my pals, they stuck it. My captain, he was further back in the third line in the defence. Husband was all right. And old husband, my captain, wanted me to, he was going to promote me to be a lieutenant. So I went to Tom Phillips. I wanted to be my lieutenant because you're so wonderful. You won't go in the front line. He always used to send for me to fetch him to see the machine gunners. And always when we were fixed in the front line, you always used to see where we were fixed, our machine guns, everything. But he was behind, and anything serious happening, hellish bombardments by the Jerry's those days.
And yes, I was wondering what the activity was.
Well,
I was wondering what sort of action there was in the Arras area during the winter of 1617. What was actually happening there, Tom?
Happening? I tell you, we stopped. We couldn't get out to have leave behind the line. We went once, about 5 miles out, to old barns, French barns, been evacuated in May 1917 or
But what was the action? What was the... was there any movement on the line?
Oh, yes. We were afraid old Jerry was going to break through to the coast. And we were short of machine guns at the time. We went out once, 2 days, we were called back. They thought Jerry was going to break through. We kept the devil from breaking through, and we machine gunners were in all the time. I never came across any of the guards division at all. I don't know whether they kept in reserve. The only time I heard they were in action was that hill 60, about 5 miles up the line from Levante, where the Welsh miners blew the hill up. Hill 60, I think it was. When it happened, when we were in Neefchapel, we were in the dugout at the time. We thought it was an earthquake, or that Jerry was blowing us up. The vibration 5 miles away from that, it was a double of a blow up. The Welsh miners again did it. They blew the whole German front line up there towards Armentieres. It wasn't as far as Armentieres. So we were in all the time, in and out, no change of clothes, chats, scabies, and a very healthy skin, you know.
Yes, tell me about the chats. What were the
vermin. We were chatty, lousy. They were used to breed under the armpits, shirt, or we didn't have a vest. Shirt, we used to tear the shirts. We had candles in the dugout, candles, and we used to burn our shirts. By the time we had no shirt left, pieces, and nothing to replace them. Ooh, the chats, and the competition in the second down the dugout, each one of us competing. We used to catch them with very heavy, thick blood from us, and we used to burst them, make a noise, and we used to count. I remember counting up to 140 of them. I think I won the championship of the biggest lousy fellow in the camp, in the front line. So, it was terrible. No wash, no nothing at all. We were in all the time, afraid Jerry, he had so many machine guns. They were best trained soldiers in the world on machine guns.
How did their machine guns compare with yours?
Oh, it was a heavier gun. And we could tell by the noise. So it tut, 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 tut. Ours used to go tut, 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 tut. And so it was, we could tell. So we were on our thunder hooks in case of Jerry, and we didn't trust those Portuguese very much, but they'd give away. So that's all right. We moved then up from there in the summer of 1917. We had to start up from the trenches at 2 o'clock in the morning, warm weather. And the old chaps perspiring, chaps used to scratch themselves, go home with scabies and blood poisoning. I never had that. I tried to be careful about it. I used to carry a packet of raisins in my thing, the good thing for the blood. Packet of raisins in my haversack always. Instead of, I never smoked in my life, and I used to give my wood mine in exchange for raisins, you see. So 2 o'clock in the morning, the long march to avoid the heat. And do you know where we landed? Facing Ostend, on the sandbanks, the sea in front of us. Jerry was in Ostend, and a big canal wide going into the sea, separating us. We had to cross that old canal with trench coats on the face of the water with rubber things holding them so Jerry couldn't see where we were crossing. And I couldn't swim in those days. And I had to lead those machine gunners and Captain Husband up to take the machine gunners and fix them in the front line. Then I had to come back. And Fred Riley, Corporal, we were put in guard in the ruins of Newport, ready to go up to see how the lads were getting. I was like a runner, the most dangerous thing of all. Oh, much worse than being on machine gun. I had a lot of running to do because I had no protection. I was out in the open to see how things were. We were two, really, but most the others were killed.
What exactly is the runner's job, Tom?
The runner from go back to the captain. He was further back a bit, and report any how many had been blown up and things like that. Emergency, but oh damn it was you had to be in the open when the big bombardments, no protection at all. When the trenches and all, I used to and. All Captain Aspen wouldn't have anybody. He wouldn't risk anybody. He knew he'd never be killed as long as I was by his side. It's a well-known fact. And Newport. Now we were coming towards Newport. And Jerry, we were sent up there to bluff Jerry that we were going to go for Ostend, so as to bring his troops from Meep up the Hellfire Money Road, the Passion Religious, to get a lot of the troops up to Ostend. We had bluffed him. We thought, Jerry thought we were going to go for Ostend. But we're going to prepare an offensive on the Meep Money Road up to Passchendaele, the whole big ridge, Passchendaele Ridge. And we were forced to that offensive on Passchendaele. A word came round to us in the trenches. They were sorry that we are preparing for another offensive. Unless we do it, the French were going to pack up. They had enough of it. You see? The French were going to pack up and we were only the British left to fight the whole front.
You were saying, Tom, that this was June, July 1917 and you had the job of a runner. Yeah. Is that right?
Yes, I was on the machine gun and in between. I fixed the machine gunners up in the front line with the captain came and I took him back. Then in the middle of the night, about 2 a.m, I was had to report up. My partner to accompany was on holidays. Frankie Johnson, he was killed. He was not on Newport. He was killed on Passchendaele. Oh, no, on the advance when Jerry broke through. Frankie Johnson. Now, I was seeing to the machine gunners in the front line. And I had to go up at 2 a.m, supposed to, on the morning after we didn't know about the gas attack, to see if the lads were all right. I was not supposed to go alone in case I was knocked out, you see. Always two, if it was possible, but I did a lot on my own.
Did you have to cross the canal?
Yeah?
Did you have to cross the canal?
Oh, damn, yes. And I couldn't swim. And I didn't know whether some of the trench grids on the canal, about a few inches of water over it.
And yes. I was wondering how you crossed the canal then. Would you have had...
I had to walk.
On the duck boards, were
yes,
there?
Yes, yes. Like trench grids tied together on the surface and they're floating up and down with the tide coming in. I don't know what depth it was. I didn't have didn't give that a thought. And they all, you didn't know whether one of the trench part had been hit by shell fire or not. Ideally thrown in once or twice into it. But I escaped all right. I had the Divine Spirit with me all the time. I never gave it a thought. So, now then, the French. Remember, the French in Verdun fought like tigers. I'll tell you the mistake Jerry made later on in going for Paris instead of coming down the coast like Hitler did. If he had come down the coast like Hitler did, the Germans would have won that war before Christmas, 1914, because the agriculture in this country was at a dead end, a gamble. 80% of our food between where I was born until 1914 came from abroad. We'd have been starved, you see. And where all, Kaiser Bill made the mistake to show off. Windberg ordered Hindenburg, Prussian general, you know.
Yes, I think we'll keep to your story, if you don't mind, Tom. We can talk about this later. But at the moment, I want to ask you, what was happening at Newport in June, July 1917?
Yes.
And this story of the mustard attack, if you could tell me that.
Yes, I'll tell you that. Excuse me, I got to translate my thoughts from Welsh to English when talking to you.
You're doing very well, well.
That's my trouble. Yes, I'll tell you all about that. Wait a minute now. Did you get that piece of newspaper? Right. I'll be there with you. Are you going to join me up? Do you know, if you had been a widow, I told Harry Mead, I wanted him to be my best man to Mario. You see, we could have had at least 10 years of the most true happiness in your life.
Uh-huh. Well, that's the best proposal I've ever had.
Wait a minute. That's where I'm going to tell you. Where did you get the report about me? From Leeds? I got it all summed up ready for you.
Right, let me have it then. You tell me what happened.
Yes. You're going to join me up? We were rushed into... We had a night under tents amongst the sand dunes before we entered Newport. July the 21st, that's it. Now, we had to march in then through to take the machine gunners. I think there were 8 machine gun posts and 8 in reserve, into the front line across the old canal. And my Scotch captain came leading us. I showed him where all the machine gun posts were in the front line. So that was fixed. We had done it before 9 o'clock on the night we went in. We didn't know anything where the first aid advance post was in the ruins of Newport at all. We didn't have time. We wanted it fixed in time. So after fixing it up, Corporal Fred Riley, is from Leeds. I tried to trace him, but he had died, to give you the true facts as well. Fred and Riley and I came back into a little cellar from the ruins of Newport. Newport was all in ruins. And we are sheltered amongst the broken down buildings. Only he and I were fixed just on the border of the ruins of Newport, not quite in the centre, just alongside, in a little, with a sheet blanket coming down in the entrance in case of any gas attacks. Blankets, and we used to wet it, you see, in case of a gas attack. So we got back, everything okay, And at night, about 5 past 10, Jerry opens out. We didn't know, we were warned that we may get a new gas. We were warned to be on our guard. And they thought it was mustard, and that would take about 7 hours to affect you after it, you see. A very nasty gas. But they didn't tell us about post-gene gas. So we got back and we settled in this little dugout, and I had instructions on my own to visit the gunners about 2 in the morning, see if they were all right, if any help or anything. So, but at 5 past 10, Jerry opens out the biggest gas attack ever in shells, you know, shells. Never had such, in thousands of shells non-stop from quarter past 10 or 5 past 10 until 1 o'clock next morning.